The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
It's a hard truth that the consequences of these past 18 months with COVID have caused people, I believe, around the world to consider the fragility of life and question, I think for a lot of people, what happens when we close our eyes for the last time in this world? Is there an afterlife? Is there heaven? In his new book, The Case for Heaven, a journalist investigates evidence for life after death, best-selling and award-winning author Lee Strobel presents his findings for the reality of life after using conversations with scholars and theologians around the world. The Case for Heaven, Lee Strobel joins us now. Lee, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much. Great to be with you.
Yeah, we're so happy that you're along with us. The Ride Home is streaming live on YouTube at The Word Pittsburgh. If you'd like to watch, Lee's on Zoom with us right now. Lee, it's good to see your face.
Thank you. Great to see you.
Yeah. Okay, Lee, so this this book starts with you telling the story that the idea of dying became very real to you over the last couple of years. Tell the story about what happened.
Yeah, several years ago, I almost died. My wife found me unconscious on the bedroom floor, called the paramedics. I woke up in the emergency room and looked into the face of a doctor, and he said, "You're one step away from a coma, two steps away from dying." Conscious again. So I lingered over that kind of fuzzy border between life and death for quite a while until the doctors were able to save me. I had kind of an unusual medical condition called hyponatremia, which is a severe drop in my blood sodium level. I lost a kidney as part of it.
Really?
And it was quite an experience. But, you know, it was a clarifying experience.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm laying there and I'm saying, okay, I'm a Christian. I believe in what the Bible says. If I die, I'm going to go to heaven. But I'm also kind of a skeptic. I got a background in journalism and law. So I'm thinking, yeah, but does neuroscience back that up? What do scientists and historians and theologians and philosophers really say about this? And that's what kind of launched me on the project that has resulted in this new book, The Case for Heaven.
Wonderful. So I'm sorry to say that, Lee, that as I'm reading about you, your brother Ray, he died of COVID. Talk about that as well. I mean, there you are writing a book about heaven, and then your brother passes away.
That's right. And he was an atheist, like I was.
Is that right?
Was for much of my life. I was an atheist for until I researched the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus and concluded that Jesus didn't just claim to be the Son of God. He backed it up by returning from the dead. My brother was an atheist. I hope that in those waning moments of his life, he turned to God. He knew the gospel. I led my father-in-law, who was an atheist, to faith in the last conversation of his life before he died. And I believe he's in heaven. So, my brother had heart surgery. He was 76. He was a partier. He was a drinker, a smoker. And they put him in a nursing home to recover. And he caught, quote unquote, the flu. And, of course, COVID was circulating at the time. And he died.
So, Lee, this isn't theoretical. And it's not going to be theoretical for any of us, but certainly for you, it's not theoretical right now. So, of course, that shed a different light on the writing of this book that I'm indicating here on the screen. So tell us about the book. You've written a ton of books. This is new. Is it also special to you?
Very much so, because, you know, as was mentioned, so many people in America, 29% of Americans either know someone who's died of COVID or have a family member die of COVID. And it has opened up people to questions about the afterlife. In fact, my wife, Leslie, and I were at a restaurant a while back, and the waitress, young woman, about 18 years old, named Cameron, started to cry. And we said, "What's wrong?" She said, "I'm sorry. I almost didn't come into work today. We just lost a family member to COVID." And I thought, here's a young woman, about 18 years old, probably never thought about death before. She's got her whole life ahead of her. Why should she? But now death has come knocking at her family's door. Now you can see the anxiety and the apprehension and the concern in her eyes. And She's now become a friend. I've given her a copy of the book, and we've been trying to encourage her. But I think that's true of a lot of people. They begin to wonder, okay, I've heard of this heaven idea. I know it's in the Bible, but can I trust it? How do I know it's true?
Right. Okay, so Lee, the essence of who you are as a journalist is the skill that you have as an investigative reporter. So how right. do you investigate the truth of heaven? I mean, you talk to a lot of different people in the process of the case for heaven. What did you uncover? I mean, people are going all the time. The basic questions people ask are, will I be in heaven? What about my spouse? And what about my dog?
Yeah, that's right. The dog always comes up.
Sure.
You know, what really surprised me in my investigation is I was a skeptic about near-death experiences. I thought they were just hallucinations or the dying gasps of a brain that was about to face its demise. But what I learned, there are 900 scholarly articles published in scientific and medical journals on near-death experiences over the last 40 years. Really? So this is a well-researched, scientifically studied area.
Really?
And even The Lancet, the famous medical journal in the UK, said no other alternative explanation explains away these near-death experiences. So I'll give you a quick example. There's a woman named Maria died of a heart attack in a hospital. But she said later, I was alive the whole time. I was awake. My spirit separated from my body. I watched the resuscitation efforts. Then my spirit floated outside the hospital. And when I returned to my body and was finally revived, she said, oh, by the way, there's a man's tennis shoe on the roof of the hospital. It's black. It's left footed. There's some wear over the little toe and the shoelace is tucked under the heel. And they went up the roof and they found it exactly as she described
it. No way.
That's so cool.
Yes. So that's just one. I probably cite, I don't know, 20 or 25 examples where we have corroboration that indeed at the time of death, just as the Bible says, our spirit, our soul separates from our body. In fact, one study into 21 blind people, half of them blind since birth, found that during their near-death experience, they could see for the first time.
No kidding.
And when they returned to their body, their eyesight was gone. That's so, medically impossible.
And so, Lee, were these believers and non-believers alike?
That's a very astute question because people say, wait a minute, Bible says you were appointed once to die and then the judgment. Well, these people are not irrevocably dead. They're dead, declared dead, not breathing, no brain waves, no breathing. They're clinically dead, but they're not irrevocably dead because they're going to come back. And so when the Bible talks about death, it's really referring to what happens when we ain't going to come back, you know, when it's a permanent death. And so this kind of explains away some of the experience that people have that you think, well, how can, for instance, one guy, 24% of people go to hell in these near-death experiences. And Howard Storm did in his near-death experience. And yet he called out to Jesus and Jesus rescued him. And today, now that he's recovered, he's renounces atheism and is now a pastor of a church.
I bet.
Wow.
Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay, so talk about the dog then. and I resent,
you know,
the fact that no one brought up cats. So I'm bringing it up right now, Lee. I'm the person. I'm asking.
Wait, no, Lee. So through all the theology, all the learning, this is the number one question?
Number one.
That's
number
one
by a long shot. By a long shot. I mean, yeah, people want to know. And I'm skeptical about the cat.
Listen.
But, funny.
Although my son had a chinchilla when we were growing up, which is kind of like a squirrel. I think he's in heaven.
Don't compare your chinchilla to my cat.
Won't that be a surprise?
Well, here's the thing. Will there be animals in heaven? Yes. We know from Isaiah and Revelation, there'll be animals in heaven. Animals have souls. They're not as complex as our soul. We're made in the image of God. And animals were created before the fall, so they were part of God's good creation. So there will be animals, but will there be pets? That is, I can't point to a verse, and nobody can. But a lot of people, like Johnny Erickson Tada, said, I believe it would just be like God in his love and his grace and his sense of humor to reunite us with the pets that we had when we were growing up, who we loved so much. And I kind of side with that.
That's good. Yeah. So then, and all of this, Lee, when you're done with, you know, the last manuscript has been checked, the book goes to the publisher. What do you carry with me? I mean, is it a sense of joy and relief at the same time?
It is. It's, you know what it's like? It's like having a vacation on your calendar. In other words, you know, if you've ever been in a period of time where you're working really hard and life is difficult and you're short of money and things are tough, and but if you have a vacation coming up on the calendar, you go, I think I can get through it to that.
Yeah, got this. It's, out.
Heaven is sort of like that, because if you know that heaven is real, you can get through the difficulties of life because it's coming.
I'll take that. That's a
really
great thing.
I really like that analogy.
Heaven is a vacation
lot.
On my calendar.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Okay. So tell us about you personally. How I know you're thinking about the vacation on your calendar because that came to your mind instantly. But personally, December 1st, I mean, you were immersed in this idea for a long time. So talk about how you're different.
Well, I'm different because I sat down for a chapter I wrote with Luis Palau, the famous evangelist, who knew he was dying. And I wanted to interview a Christian who was about to die because about their perception of heaven. So I sat down, there was a friend and a hero of mine. I sat down with him and I interviewed him. It's a whole chapter in the book. It's very profound about his reflections about what he would say to someone who's about to die and how he was looking at heaven. But he said to me, he said, Lee, at the end of your life, when all is said and done, you will never regret being courageous for Christ. And that has stuck with me so much because coming from Luis, that's powerful stuff. And do I have time to tell you one last thing? One more thing. The other thing I take away are the words of Charles Spurgeon, the famous preacher from the 1800s. He said something that gave me a new perspective. I'll read it to you real quick.
Yeah.
He said, the very glory of heaven is that we shall see him, that same Christ who once died upon Calvary's cross, that we shall fall down and worship at his feet. Nay, more, that he shall kiss us with the kisses of his mouth and welcome us to dwell with him forever. And I thought, wow, have you ever imagined Jesus welcome you in heaven with kisses, with hugs? Think of the prodigal son's story, how father embraced and kissed his runner. That just warmed my heart when I read that quote.
Wow.
That's fabulous.
That sure is.
Lee, thanks. You made my day.
Me too.
You really did.
Thanks. I appreciate
this
that.
This is great news.
Great to see you guys.
Yeah, great to see you as well. Lee Strobel, The Case for Heaven, a journalist investigates evidence for life after death. Fabulous. Really good.
Lee, we're glad you're
God
still with
you.
Us.
Thank you as
Thank
well.
Thank you. Me too.
<That's good.
laughs> Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.